have some talking points that you can call out and stuff. Stuff that's covered in the meeting, I mean, that she says is, well, of course, they get the minutes of the transcript.
No, we don't do transcripts.
But we have the tape.
But we do have the tape.
Anybody wants to listen.
Yeah. You know, we've done it after a fashion since July. As far as, you know...
Well, then I think it is good, since the minutes is not a transcript, that the outline then shows the person what's there and that they want to listen to it.
Except that everything that we've commented on, you know, there has been something in the minutes about that. I mean, in the last few months, I've paid specific attention to that, and the things that she and I have both each chosen to put on our little outline things have all ended up with at least a one-liner or so in the minutes already. And so it does, it seems like a duplication to me. What about you, Pearl?
I think it's a duplication. I don't think it needs to be added.
I would agree.
Well, since we voted to do it, does somebody want to make a motion to...
I move that we discontinue the practice of attaching outlines to the minutes.
For the executive directors and the...
Right.
Commission president, not, we still want people to be asked to do a presentation. We want them to prepare something.
Yes, we do. Yeah, that's a separate issue.
And we also want them to get that to us in advance.
Yes, and that's still, that is a separate issue.
Then I would second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we discontinue attaching the executive director and chairman's reports to the minutes. The piece of discussion I have too is, does that include our discontinuing to bring the hard copy outline to the meeting, or is that a separate thing?
Well, the outlines, what you use presumably to give your report.
Yes, and on mine, the one page that you have in Braille there that's not stapled to the other pages, that is my little outline. So I think, are you asking, Barbara, if that's helpful?
Yes, I am. If it's helpful, we can keep doing it, but if it isn't particularly, then I would just as soon include in the motion doing away with that as well.
Okay. Right.
Does the maker of the...
That friendly amendment.
Friendly amendment, and so that's okay with you?
Yes.
Okay. We have a friendly amendment to include the hard copy outline too.
Yeah.
Friendly's all around seconding thing. Okay. So is there further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That's a good thing.
Yes, it is. Okay, now the next item is the focus topic for the next meeting. We already discussed a little bit the fact that Vicki is more likely to be available for the November meeting. We've also talked for quite a while about the need for us to revisit the spending program as a focus topic. And so those are the two things that we have talked about most recently. So it makes sense to me for us to have the spending issue be the focus topic next time. Does anybody have any other suggestions or any feelings about that one way or the other?
No, I think that's appropriate at this time.
Okay, then we will, at our next meeting, we will have the vending program be the focus topic. And, you know, Terry was real good last time about having a written report, so, you know, do that again. And, you know, we can be thinking about questions and things like that and making sure that everybody out there knows that that is going to be our focus topic, so that if people have any kind of concerns or anything like that to bring, they can bring it at that time.
I have a question about scheduling. Terry is one, and sometimes this might be true for other people as well, but especially Terry has, he has horses, he has two teenage girls who are in lots of events and trainings, and he often on weekends has, you know, commitments that aren't really flexible. Is now obviously if something is crucial, we all of us, we would be there, whatever else was going on. But if he has a problem with the date, I mean, what do you think? If and I guess I'm asking in general, when we have a report that we need, well, I guess we kind of did it with Vicki this time. She was scheduled for this one, and then in between the two meetings, mm-hmm. asked to be
rescheduled. And, we, yeah. and rather than reschedule our meeting, we rescheduled her. You know,
right.
to me, that's always a thing that we could, if we know far enough ahead of time, mm-hmm. we can reschedule our meeting. We've done that before. When I don't remember what it was that caused that to happen, but I do remember our deciding on a date at the meeting and then needing to revisit that because of something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever we decide on, we certainly can, especially if we know far enough ahead of time that we can get the word out properly and all of that, we should be able to.
Okay. And I think it can go the other way, too. He will know Monday to put it on his calendar, and unless there's some huge thing with the fair or something that he just really, really needs to be at, I'm not sure he can block that day out. So.
Yeah, and the, you know, that segues nicely into the location, date, and time of the, of the next meeting. You know, we did a talk earlier about that we would be meeting in Grand Island next time. So we need to choose a date.
And we've
been
so
trying.
If Terry can't make it, I mean, if Vicki asked us, I prefer to have one. No more Lincoln has a lie, but that's
back
where we gotta go sometimes.
I think she would be. When we were first talking about August, we were saying maybe even North Platte or further west. And so since the VIPS people requested Grand Island, that's much closer. Her issue is also family responsibilities. So it'd be more likely that she could come to Grand Island than to North Platte, say, or further west.
I suppose your topic also may be relevant to the best people.
Yeah, not necessarily. But either way, I think that
we could give her alternate days, you know, for August 9th or 16th, whichever one fit her schedule better.
Well, we're trying.
Our priority is to have the vending program.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think with the recent questions and such,
yeah.
it's very important. So I don't mean to imply that well, if he has a horse thing, he just
won't. We could do the same with him. Just pick out a date and an alternate date. Cause we could contact him right away.
Yeah.
So we could get this on his schedule.
Yeah. He certainly will know when county fair obligations are and things like that. Yeah.
So how does August look for you guys?
third week in August, I'm tied up.
There's 2 weeks I do tied up. 1 week I'm on call for the agency, so I can't get out of town and do my duty, but we'll reach that far.
The 9th is the Nebraska Alumni, or the Nebraska Association of the Blind meeting that I'll be at. So the 9th is not a good thing.
I think that's coming.
And then the other Saturday is the 16th, 23rd, and 30th.
And the 2nd would be a Saturday.
2nd?
How about the
6th? Oh, sure enough.
Yeah, I'll be at a month, 16th, and 3rd Saturday.
Yeah, the 2nd. that earlier in the month might miss the county fair. I don't really know when they are, but...
How about on the 7th, not 3 months?
Not 6th, man.
I'm all pretty good. Okay, we have suggestions, or a motion, that we meet in Grand Island on the 2nd of August. For the discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Actually, propose an alternate date, that's what we're looking at.
Okay, now, do we have an alternate option?
Later in the month.
There are 5 Saturdays in August. 30th is also a Saturday.
The 4th Saturday.
Oh, it would, wouldn't it?
The 4th Saturday.
There's a lot of meetings.
The 4th Saturday is what, 23rd?
Yes.
That's true.
Best for me.
What about the 16th?
I'm tied up on that.
Oh. Well, it could be, I mean, you know, the 2nd might work just fine.
You also try to have a 2nd.
Yeah, if we, well, yeah, we'll go with the 2nd, and if that really is a major problem, then we'll...
Late the line.
We'll just, I'm sure we can, that early in August, we ought to be able to make it work. What time did you want to start?
Anybody have a suggestion?
Well, if you go to Grand Island, right?
How far out is Grand Island?
Yeah, you'd have to go at North Fork and then...
From Omaha?
From Omaha, so where would it be from?
About 4 hours.
Oh, would it be that long?
It's an hour and a half to come down here. Close to 2 hours.
You go the other way, you go and bike down there, go down to North Fork.
No, but I'm in a city, so I'm on it.
You like the interstate?
We're down 77, I'm good now. One way or the other.
So probably 9:00 in the morning wouldn't be real good for you, Dorothy.
No, well, we'd probably come down the night before or something. That's the only way 9:00 would work.
Well, 9:00 works for us.
Oh, you're the boat.
Yeah, you don't have a boat then.
We could.
We could all go down to Nancy's the night before and
party.
She could, yeah, she could party. She could have a big buffet for us.
That, what was that one cake, Tutti Frutti or something like that you made one time at an auction and I bought it?
Yeah.
Have that for dessert.
So would 9:00 work for staff setup or would that be?
It'd be a little harder. It does take, you know, and I usually have to drive and if, and
we. 10:00.
And
hour later.
I kind of think Pam might be the...
I was complaining this morning about these early meetings.
See, we can go as far as late as the night before, do the night for my sisters, and then come on.
Okay, so we're 10 o'clock, going once, twice, sold.
That's great.
10 o'clock, now, do we have a specified place at this point, or?
Not in Grand Island, no, we'll have to find a place.
Somebody'll research that and...
We'll research it.
The village in there has a pretty decent meeting.
And you think they would let us have that room just if we ate lunch there, or would there be a cost?
They would expect that you eat lunch there, and then they put a, gratuity thing on.
Oh, okay.
Very possible, but, the village in would be the same thing. Those are nice meetings, and they were ones you have in virtually all day.
Oh, thank you.
If that doesn't work out, you can try that, what do you call it, Holiday Inn?
Yeah, the Holiday Inn downtown. Or not downtown, but...
On Locust, yeah. That's a nice place, nice restaurant.
I don't know if they would have a charge.
Yeah, we really need to try to take...
Yeah, the village in will be free.
Okay, we'll probably go for one of those.
Yeah, but...
Thank you.
Okay, other than the executive session, that's the...
Well, Pearl, did you have a letter from...
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We actually, I wonder if on our agenda, if we should always have a, an other, you know, because that did not get on.
We used to, but in fact, we didn't do that.
No, I didn't notice it either.
Because usually it is.
Right. I also wanted to mention to you all that I've been called to do my duty to God and my country and be on a federal district court jury, and I have to be available throughout the month of June. So they make weekly assignments, so each Friday of June, I will call and find out if I have to report that week. So I will keep you posted. Now, the vending situation, Bob Burns had emailed that a potential problem was brought to his attention with the vending program and wanting to know about what the procedure is when a complaint or a problem is raised regarding a vending site. I sent to him asking for a little more specifics, and then I did get some information from Terry Harris. In general, there can be a complaint from the public about a vending site, such as that the machines don't work, they eat my coins, they're never full, the milk was sour, those sorts of complaints, dirty facility. Those complaints sometimes go to the building that the site is in, and sometimes they come to us. If they go to the building, especially if there are repeated complaints, it's not uncommon then for the building to contact us with the complaint. We, in either case, we talk to the vendor, we work with them, we see if there's some additional training they need or what is the problem. And then we deal with, you know, I mean, according to the situation. That if the vendor has complaints about us, about the agency, then there are procedures for that to be handled. But I believe the situation, Bob, was that you were talking about was more of the first that I described. Now, is that correct?
Yeah, to give credit, I was the one that contacted you, but no one contacted you, but Bill Bill's the one.
Yeah, I read the.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, and then Bob carried on with that.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
Okay. So, so was the situation, did what I said first kind of hit?
Yeah, it hit the state office building. That's where it is.
Oh, state, okay, well, that is different then.
Yeah, state office building has been going on for a year and they're all.
Oh, in Lincoln?
Yeah, they don't want to complain to the operator because it's blind, they don't want to hurt its people.
Oh, okay.
So they come up to Mary Sue, they want Mary Sue to resolve the problem.
Oh, goodness.
She says, don't come to me, you go to the commission.
Right, okay.
I think in that particular instance, I think somebody just has to sit them down and explain this.
Yeah.
This idea of bringing your friends in at noon to have lunch while you're supposed to be working, and there's a long line waiting for service, and they have two girls up there. Just things like that, but just careless.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry.
I think that, and then they complain about the machine not being full. When they do put the pop in the machine, and they'll go there to get a Coke, and they'll get a Dr. Pepper, they're not organized.
Oh, okay.
Just things like that.
On specific things like that, it's really important for us, for the commission staff, myself or Terry Harris, to be given that specific complaint, and then we can address it.
That's what Mary Sue's been telling him, that don't complain to me, because he's a friend of mine.
Sure.
I'm not going to raise him. She did go down the other day. The machines have been empty for about 10 days, and she called him aside and said, I don't want to cause trouble for you, but that machine's not been filled up for X number of days, and people are complaining about it, so he says, who they are, we'll have to take care of that.
Okay.
So he did.
Exactly, and there may be things the vendor just wasn't aware of that is causing a problem.
Yeah, it was part of the, part of the reason that, that I didn't have anything go further with whatever it is, but although I, have heard this kind of rumor and whatever, I didn't want to do the Tyson on anybody or whatever.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
I don't want us doing that.
That's right.
So
right.
My inquiry to other people who have raised it, to me has been that somebody come with a specific thing, somebody with a specific thing, because I don't want us as a commission board to either A, try to micromanage, or B, take rumor or hearsay or whatever, however credible it might be, and turn it into an issue if there isn't somebody who's willing or able to come and say, okay, this is a real issue and this is something that needs to be dealt with. And so far no one has done that with me, and that's why I didn't pursue it in a
specific way. Now, I guess one thing for what occurred to me is the people, I thought someone in the day had complained and nothing was happening. Maybe they, how would a person know who to complain to? Would be very kind of
okay. At each vending site, they have a sign, and sometimes it's on each machine, sometimes it's just in that area of, if you don't get your coin or, any problems, contact me, and it has the vendor's name, and the ones that are out, say on the interstate, they often will have a toll-free number that people can call, but they're all required to have a sign saying how to contact them. And I would really encourage for people to start there, and even if you're hearing, well, I don't want to, maybe they don't say, I don't want to bother him because he's blind, but the truth is he or she is the business person.
Mm-hmm,
and the best way is not only not taking it to the board, but even not taking it to Terry or me, the best thing is first talk to that vendor and say, hey, I just got Dr. Pepper and I want it, and the button said Coke. do you know this, and give me my Coke.
Well, the other deal. We have people, the part of the purpose of that program is to help people to learn about the competence of blind people.
Yes.
And the thing is, that's a two-way street. I mean,
right.
You know, the blind person needs to be competent and all of that, but also the public needs to interact with that person and the business person. And we, you know, blind folks of the state need to help both of those things to happen.
Right.
I know the other day some gal went down and talked to him. But talked to one of his people. I upstairs, I put some money in there and didn't get a pop out of it. Gal says, so? what do you want us to do about it?
Yeah.
She says, I want you to give me my GED 50 cents back.
Right. Sure.
So it's just it's these little things that I think that's a good area in which I'd hate to see them lose it.
It sounds to me like this is a high profile enough place that how could, my question would be, how could Terry not know that this is being run these substandard? I don't, that's what goes to, you know, how much checkup this is done. Volleyball, it's like a franchise. I mean, McDonald's,
right,
or whoever, I mean, they check up all the time.
Yeah, and they do. They're, Terry and Don are there at various times, and you know, there are always issues that they're working with and talking to people and dealing with on. To say that it's being run in a substandard manner over as a general statement, I would really be surprised if something were run that way that we don't know about. There are some where we've had kind of ongoing problems where you probably could say that. And Terry does know about them, and I usually know too, you know. So, but communication is just the most important part of it.
Well, and to me, if I don't know, you know, specifically from someone who has gone through the process, you know, that's there. You know, like,
yes,
if somebody won't talk to a business person, it doesn't matter what kind of a business it is, that person may or may not.
There are things going on that people you shouldn't have to talk to when it's noontime and that's a business time, and there's long lines going out in the hall, and the operator sitting there with his friends chatting, having lunch with them. That's improper.
Right.
That's improper conduct, and that's got to be corrected.
Yeah, I will mention that specific thing to Terry and see if he's aware of that, and tell him to, you know, talk with the vendor about that.
Yeah, there are just a lot of little things there that the people in the building are really getting aggravated, and Mary Lou's getting tired of having it come up. Father complains with her. She says, I work for the Department of Revenue.
Right, yeah, they certainly shouldn't be taking it to the other blind person that happens to work in the building.
Yeah, but
they want her to be
that.
I know.
Though,
if we
as blind people don't, you know, redirect them.
Yeah. So. Call Terry Harris, call the commission, but they won't do it. So I decided, well, I've heard this so much that it's about time to.
Sure. Well, thank you.
And I think it can be corrected without very little effort, actually. Mm-hmm.
No doubt. We'll bring it up. Thank you.
So the process is then that people would go, you know, hopefully to the person who's running the business, mm-hmm, first of all, and
right,
if that doesn't work, then to the commission staff.
Mm-hmm. First to Terry or Don, mm-hmm, second to me.
The public seem to feel that, you know, you say something to a blind person, they're going to break out in tears, I guess, because they're so unhappy. they can't have that attitude. If they're going to a business place, consider it a business place, not a, he's a businessman.
Right.
Not a unhappy blind person.
How long does the site then talk about the same person?
Oh, it was switched maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And the former manager of that site is now in the federal building in Lincoln. So did that cover it then? Or is there another piece of it that you want me to talk about?
As far as I'm concerned, that's it. Be
Thank
aware
you.
Of the fact
okay.
that there's a potential problem there.
Right.
Tatyana's is all back to the nature of the beast that, you know, if it was McDonald's, they wouldn't, no one would not talk to the manager because they're afraid of hurting the feelings.
Right, that's for sure.
If they got cold french fries, they'd, you know, demand a refund. So we need to, it goes to the heart of the menu program.
Right.
We want them to have high thoughts about blind people instead of, well, it's just, you know, blind what you expect.
Right.
It's substandard.
Right, oh, yeah.
That's bad.
That's
actually worse than having, not having it at all.
That's right. And I think part of the issue, not with that facility per se, but with especially the vending sites that are just machines, the vendor does not sit there 8 hours and 10 hours a day. You know, they come in and fill the machines and check the change mix and move on. So quite often when, I mean, it would be just by chance that you would happen to be there and have a problem and have the person there. That's why they're required to have their signs up. So, you know, that's also can be an issue too. Well, nobody was there for me to tell, and then the resentment builds and the problems can build. It definitely happens on the interstate.
So if they called the vendor ignored them, then how would they, you know, have a negative impression about the whole deal? It still sounds like it's ultimately, if they contact the vendor, there's no way, you know, if the vendor, you get no satisfaction, the vendor will call his boss, and that's not around.
Well, except that the build, actually, that's where the building comes in, although they don't manage those sites or, at all. Usually, the building hears the complaints. Mm-hmm. If the vendor either isn't responsive or isn't getting the complaints, the person will complain to the building manager. And so then that's when it can come to us too.
And that's similar to how it would work with any kind of business, you know, if there's
yes.
a business in any kind of a location.
Right.
If the people who own the building find that there's some kind of problem that, you know, people are unhappy in their facility, they're going to do something to try to change that.
Right.
One different theory is the age-old thing about people's thoughts about blindness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which is part of why that exists to begin with.
Mm-hmm. And anybody, including board members, can feel free to call me if they hear a complaint.
Yeah.
That we could deal with closer to the time of the situation. Feel free to do that. Okay, well that's all I would have on that.
Another thing I'd throw out in new business, I think everybody here knows that MoPix is up in Omaha. You know, the key now is to get the word out to blind people. There's a problem brewing in this whole MoPix area that the movie studios are wondering if blind people are going to use this. There's plenty of evidence that deaf people use it, so there's no problem with that. So we're seeing now about 75-80% of the movies coming out are both closed caption and descriptive, but 20-25% are coming out that are just closed caption. So it's again, it's another thing that the blind have to know it's there, have to make use of it, and have to, you know, it's the grassroots. Notify the movie studios. We don't forget about us making a movie accessible. Don't forget the blind. But it goes back to, you know, the blind have to step up and use this. Or it could conceivably go away if they don't feel like anybody uses it.
Yeah, one of the problems is, well, we always have to make sure that people, when they're doing the imperative thing, too, they need to have some understanding that there are more people in general, you know, who are deaf than there are who are blind, you know, so if they're just doing it by numbers, that's why we always want to have separate entities like our commission, for instance, because whenever that happens, we are always on the short end of the thing because we are a smaller.
That's why it's important we speak up.
So, yeah.
Because they don't know these things, and we need to constantly remind them to speak up. Thank them when we go to a movie that has it and say, this was great, give us more. We just have to speak up and then use it to get more to speak up. But we do use it. Otherwise, we might not like the results. Totally separate issue. The fact that the description is already there can be used and can be broadcast. So once the description is done, it's done. Then it goes back to the, you know, the TV stations. So I have to train the SAT. But if you notice, like on TNT and WTBS and current movie classics, they have a lot of movies that that have description. So once these movies are done, it's the description then can be passed along. But the TV stations still have to.
Do you think they will?
Again, it goes to, you know, we got MOPIX. MOPIX was I guess it was originally government seed money, but it's just, you know, people have to speak up. Mm-hmm. It's got to be much groundswell, grassroots, more squeaky wheel getting grease kind of thing. We keep telling them we want it, we like it, we listen to use it, and that's what they like to hear. They're all about making money.
Bob?
Yeah.
You know, I think the process is likely to be slow. You know, like WDBX out of Boston is one of the pioneer descriptions for Captain Cody's background in 1960. And I believe that the amount of Captain Cody on television is somewhere between 80% and 90%. So it has grown, but it has been a gradual process of abuse. I think probably we're likely to see the same type of thing in the scripted video.
I don't remember when WGBH started doing descriptions.
Yeah, that's true.
1990?
Yeah. 1990. Right. So it's the same network that pioneering the process again. So not only for the gap way back then, but for the scripted game and movies also.
And
it
will make it all faster if we all step up and advocate for it.
That's right.
Did you
mention
when the dedication?
It's going to be June 2nd at theaters. The plaque is up there right now. People have contributed. They installed that Thursday. It's going right now. So anybody, you know, Daddy Daycare, I have to be careful because I learned the power that I had by them hearing what I was saying and not hearing what I was saying and kind of destroying what I was saying. That the Matrix came out, and I originally thought that we'd have the grand opening this following week, and I thought it'd be good to have maybe a general movie in there. The Matrix is rated R, and it's, it might appeal to a certain audience. So he heard me to say not to run Matrix in the theater this week because you keep it a general interest movie, and that's not what I meant at all. But so I found out I have to communicate very clearly, you know, it's kind of made me amazed that I'd have that much power that they would, he would rearrange what he was intending to do just because of what I said. So Matrix is going to show up next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then Almighty Bruce, which is the big release next week, is accessible. It's going to be Monday through Thursday, which I guess is good at least both movies will be in there. So it's out there right now. Daddy Daycare is playing and the theater's playing. The other thing is the dedication outside the theater talks in MOPIX. There's no big broad definition of what it is. That's will just be something we have to educate people about, first ourselves, and then the public will learn what it is. But that MOPEX is the name of the system. www.mopex.org is a website. People can get on that weekly email newsletter and find out what's coming up and what's out. It's got every city in the country, But June 2nd, we're going to have some extra headsets there for the event. So if anybody would have an interest in going, let me know ASAP, because we want to make sure we got enough headsets. I'm kind of ordering enough headsets for what I think is going to be the demand. I don't know if anybody from the ACB would be interested. But again, the main thing is it's out there right now.
Who did the audio on that?
WGBH in Boston does the description.
And then they just on that one, just going to that particular movie house?
Yeah, Theater 20. That's the auditorium that the movie all week, if it's a MOPEX movie, and most weeks there is a MOPEX movie in Theater 20. And it's noted in the newspaper. And also through that MOPEX website, or you can just call out to the theater.
What is the theater?
It's an Oakview Mall, my Oakview Mall, there in 44th and 7th.
It's been mentioned that the Mayor's Commission has a, I have no idea what it is.
Well, great. And that's the thing, we got to get, you know, we do our best to get the word out, because the deaf community is, I think, far more organized and, you know, through just their social groups and things that they, I tell them something, it seems to spread like wildfire. The blind community, I think, is more harder to reach. And so, whatever form, I've contacted the Talking Book Library, so in their next monthly newsletter,